produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise the Lord. It is such a great pleasure once again to be able to share the Word of God with you. And this is Pearl Coupe on our weekly program where we just share, teach the Word of God so that the Word of God can just equip us, the Word of God can empower us, the Word of God can activate us, and the Word of God can train us as well. So it's such a pleasure to be able to share with you once again. And this week I'm talking to you all the way from Cape Town. And for those of you who don't know, Cape Town is a city that is located in the Western Cape Province of South Africa. South Africa has 9 provinces, and Cape Town is in the Western Cape. And it also happens to be the number one tourist destination spot in the world. So if you're out there and you're looking for a place to visit once this lockdown is over, please, you are very welcome to visit in South Africa and to come and see Cape Town, where they have beautiful sights, Table Mountain and the sea and many beautiful tourist spots. But I give God all the glory. And today I want to talk about believing and relying on Yeshua. In this season, we find ourselves believing in so many things, and relying on so many things. But the question that I want each and every one of us to ask ourselves squarely, just to have a time of introspection, and ask ourselves, who and what do I believe in truly? And who and what am I relying upon truly? Because the worldly system has gotten into our DNA, and there are certain, institutions, certain, like the educational institutions, that are pointing us to believe in certain things which are not in line with the kingdom principles and the kingdom standards, and pointing and encouraging us to believe in certain people who are not representing the kingdom of God. So this is the question that I want each and every one of us to examine ourselves with today and say, what am I believing in, and whom am I believing in, and what am I relying on in this season? And I want us to go to our foundational reading, which is contained in John 11, verses 39 to 45. And this is a common verse of scripture. Many of us know it's the account of Lazarus, when Yeshua actually went to the tombstone. This is Lazarus, who was dead and had not just died, but had been dead for, a number of days. And Yeshua went and, performed that miracle. I don't know what miracle you're looking for in your life in this time, but Yeshua performed a miracle and brought Lazarus forth and called Lazarus forth out of a tomb. And my prayer is that whatever may have died in your life, whether it's a dream, a godly dream that God had given you, may it resurrect in this season. But it can only do that when you believe and rely on God. And so let's take our reading from John 11, verses 39 to 45, and hear what the Lord is saying to us, and the word of the Lord is saying to us for this time and for this season. And the scripture, starting from verse 39, says, "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Yeshua, Jesus, said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" I'm going to say that again. "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Yeshua, Jesus, looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So here we're just understanding that Yeshua believed, but he had to voice it out publicly because there was doubt in his midst. And so he said, I believe and I know I believe and I've never had any doubt, but I'm saying this publicly and voicing it out audibly for the benefit of the people standing here so that they may believe also. So may your testimony out there, sometimes we have to voice our testimony out there, may it be voiced out audibly so that it will provoke and encourage other people to believe also, to believe that, listen, if God was able to heal this person, if God was able to deliver this person, if God was able to provide for this person, I believe that he can do the same for me. The Bible also tells us that, you know, they overcame him, meaning the enemy, the prince of the world, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So may we audibly begin to voice out our belief, our faith, our trust in God, our testimony, what he's done for us, that that will also provoke others to believe in God's ability and God's capacity. Praise the Lord. And in verse 43, it says, when he had said this, remember we've just read verse 42, I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus, Yeshua, called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Verse 44, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Yeshua, Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Verse 45, therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. So Yeshua, his words, what he said, what he did, all it did was that all the people who'd been around, all the people who had been in his presence, all those people in the environment, because of what he said and did, they were provoked into believing. My prayer is that what we do as believers will not take away people's belief, will not, you know, cause people to doubt, but our faith standing strong, standing firm in him, our actions, our behavior, our character will rather point to Yeshua and his ability and provoke people into believing in Yeshua. Not so much believing in us, but believing in the one whom we serve, believing in the one who saved us, believing in the one who delivered us, believing in the one who was and is and still is to come. May that be the testimony of our lives, that whatever we do, whatever we say, will provoke people into believing in Yeshua. So first of all, I want to ask and for us to ask ourselves, what does it mean to believe? What does it mean to believe? There are dimensions to believing, and we need to actually explore the level to which we believe, because sometimes we just believe with our ears, but we've not believed. You know that your heart can believe and your spirit can believe. You can believe not just with your ears, but believing in your spirit, where your spirit has actually received that understanding. And I believe God is calling us not to just believe and listen with our ears, but to believe in our hearts. That means you grab it with your heart, believe in your spirit. That means your spirit man has connected to what Yeshua is saying. Your spirit man is connected to the word. So you're not just understanding it at a superficial level, but you've grasped it and you've connected to it and you're not going to let go. So there are dimensions to believing. And I believe that's what God wants us to understand in this season. And he's asking us, to what dimension do you believe? Because at the end of the day, do you know that even demons believe? Yes, demons believe in Yeshua. And I'll show you right now in scripture. Where does it say that? It says that in James 2:19. It says that, you know, even demons believe and they tremble. James 2:19 reads as follows. It says, thou believe that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So, you know, we shouldn't brag about or boast about our believing in God, because there are dimensions to believing. And the Bible tells us that even demons believe in God. And they not only believe, but they fear and tremble. Some of us as believers and sons of God, we profess to believing, but even that belief does not bring us to a place where we fear and tremble. And the demons even believe and they tremble. So just ordinary belief, where you just believe, you know, on a superficial level, is not really enough to actually show that we truly believe. Like I said, there are dimensions of belief. And I pray that our dimension of believing is not at the level of how demons believe, where they just understand, they know that there's a God. But our dimension of believing is a belief that carries us to a place where we don't just believe, but we operate in obedience. We don't just believe, but we take that word, because true belief in God means you will demonstrate the word. You will not just hear it. You will not just be a hearer of the word, but you will be a doer of the word. So when we really believe, we become doers. We implement the word. We walk in obedience. That's now fruit showing that we truly believe, because you cannot believe where you just hear and you recite and you quote the word, but you are not demonstrating the word. You are not living the word. So the fruit and that shows that we truly believe is when we act and operate in obedience to the word. So we cannot just believe with our five senses, you know, just using our ears to believe, just using our nose, our sense of smell and taste. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So like I said, there are levels of believing. There's a belief that starts only with hearing, but then there's a belief where the hearing now transfers and manifests in your heart. So your heart has grasped that understanding and your spirit man has grasped that understanding. And salvation comes not just by believing, you know, with your head, believing through head knowledge, but salvation comes when your heart and spirit man has connected with that belief, and now you start to operate in that belief. You show the fruit of your belief. So believing requires far more than usage and using our five senses. You know, even Mary, the Bible tells us that Mary was sitting at Jesus, Yeshua's feet. This is somebody who is in the presence of Yeshua. Remember, Martha was busy. She was busy doing stuff. But Mary was seated positionally in the right place. She was seated at the feet of Yeshua. She was in his presence. But even Mary, having experienced the presence of God, she was not at a place where she'd really reached that dimension of believing in Yeshua's ability, because she was questioning Yeshua along with her sister Martha. And she said, Lord, if you had been here, Lord, you know, she said, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And Yeshua is addressing Martha, and he's telling Martha as well that, listen, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. You will see the glory of God. So even Mary, after having, you know, sat at the feet of Yeshua, she still needed to push to another dimension of believing Yeshua in Yeshua's ability. Because Mary also asked the question, said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. So you can be in his presence and still not believe at that dimension. So my prayer is that many of us, even as we experience God's presence, we read his word, may God take us to another level of believing in him, not believing in our capacity, not believing in our own ability, but believing in him. The Bible says in him we live and move and have our being, but it also says I can do all things through Christ. So our ability lies in Yeshua. So it's important and fundamental and essential that we believe in him, and our capacity to do all things lies in how we believe in him, how we believe in his capacity being released in each and every one of us. So it's possible to be in his presence. It's possible to go to service every day, every week. We're going to services week after week. And it's possible to think that we believe, but we're not really at that dimension of believing that we really need to be at, because it's that higher level of belief that will, you know, provoke that level of faith that is needed to now move mountains and to change nations and to change the communities and societies and things around us. So my prayer is that we will not just believe with our heads, we will not just believe with our minds, but we will begin to believe in our hearts and with our spirit, man. Yeshua is requiring a higher standard of belief. These are people who knew him only as healer. They're saying, Lord, you know, if you'd been here, you would have healed our brother. Our brother would not have died. And Yeshua is saying, move to a higher dimension of understanding who I am. Move to a higher level of belief in my capacity, in the supernatural and divine ability in me. So believing means to have not only have knowledge of, because many of us just stop there. We just have knowledge of Yeshua, but believing is beyond having knowledge of him. Believing means not only to have knowledge of him, believing also means to accept him, because we read that scripture around, you know, around receiving salvation. We've read that scripture, and it's talking about confessing in Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we're talking about confessing him and having, you have knowledge of him, you confess him. And in that scripture, now you also accept him. You cannot believe in someone or in something that you have not accepted. You have to accept it. You have to, you know, have him and accept him and to obey him. So after you've accepted him, you also need to obey him. That shows another dimension of believing. And then you need to rely on him completely. So if you're still relying on yourself, relying on your flesh, relying on your qualifications, relying on your educational ability, relying on your job, relying on your money, relying on your husband, or whatever it is that you may be relying on your parents' name, then you've not truly believed in him. So to the degree that we rely on someone completely shows that we really believe in him. So we need to rely on him. Believing means to have knowledge of him, to accept him completely, to obey him, and to rely on him completely. That now moves us into the dimension of really believing him in the way that is required of us. So believing in him. Noah was somebody, you know, who believed him. The mandate was to build an ark because there's a flood that's coming. And so believing in him completely means that even when you don't see any signs of rain, you believe in him because he said it. And God is not a man that he should lie or repent or change his mind, you know, but he is not the Son of Man. But God said this and I believe it. And so I'm going to act on what he said to me. So when you believe in him, you will believe in what he said over the weather report. So the weather report, you know, didn't look like it was going to rain, but Noah was not relying on the weather report. He did not believe in the weather report. He did not rely on the weather report, but he relied on God, on what God said and what God had spoken to him. So believing means we rely on God over the weather report. Believing in and relying on him means we rely on God's report over the medical doctor's report. Believing in and relying on him means we don't rely on the financial report, on the recession that they're speaking about. We rely on God's report pertaining to our finances, pertaining to our health, pertaining to our relationships, pertaining to our purpose, pertaining to our destiny. May God, you know, just grace us to believe in him, especially in the season of COVID. It's still a COVID season. And there's so many reports out there, many of which are based on fake news. May God bring us to a place where we can shut out fake news and we can shut out reports that are contrary to the report of the Lord, to the report of God. What is stopping you from believing? Well, in verse 39, going back to verse 39, you know, we read about a stone. And I'm just going to go back to that stone right there. It says, take away the stone. This is Yeshua now in issuing an instruction, and he's saying, take away the stone. Beloveds, let me tell you, there are stones in our life that will stop us from believing and relying on Yeshua. And I want to ask you right now, what is that stone that's stopping you from believing? What is that thing that is stopping you? You know, the stone can be a hindrance and a stumbling block. So what is that hindrance that is stopping you from believing? Is it your intellect? Some people are so intellectual that they rely rather on their common sense and their reasoning over relying on the fact that he's a miraculous and supernatural God. So sometimes our intellect can be a stone of hindrance to believing in the capacity of God. Our intellect would sometimes rather choose to believe in science.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network. This is Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia coming to you once again on our weekly broadcast, bringing you Empowered for Your Destiny. This is your voice of destiny. Listen to what God has said for us today as we engage together with our co-producer, Kayla Paget. Thank you.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. My chains are gone.
I've been set free. My Lord, my Savior.
Authority that God has given us to wade off any form of negativity, discouragement, disappointments, anxieties of life, fears of life, every attack of the enemy against you, it is through the mouth he has given you. Declare that song, and I want you to declare it from your heart, and as you declare that those words, I want you to begin to believe as you sing them. Because that's going to become your reality in Jesus' mighty name. Before we leave this service, my chains are gone.
I've been set free.
Declare it to him.
I got my Savior. Yes, that's on me. And like a flood, he's
amazing grace.
Jesus in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
Amen.
There is a holy anger that is rising in me every time when I climb up the mountain and I look over the city of Perth. God wants his people set free.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And let the devil know I'm not backing off.
Amen.
I said I'm not backing off.
Yes.
God wants his people free.
Amen.
I want to see you coming in here and just coming in so hungry and so anticipating. I am saying, Lord, this is it. Because oftentimes when God is about to change a nation, he doesn't need many. He needs a few women, a few committed.
Amen.
Whenever God wants to bring down a Goliath down, he doesn't need an army that is led by Saul. He needs a David.
Amen.
With one stone. Whenever God wants to feed 5,000 people, how do you feed 5,000 people in a desert and there's no bakery? You don't need a black credit card. You need a small boy.
Amen.
A lunch box. Five little loaves of bread and two small fishes.
Amen.
Surrendered in the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
Because little is big.
Amen.
In the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
Because it all depends in whose hands it is.
Yes.
Amen.
I've said that to you before. A rod, a stick in my hands can just swat around a few things and few little glitches along my way. It's just an ordinary stick, but the same stick in the hand of Moses, the Red Sea's part.
Amen.
For it all depends in whose hands that stick is. Tennis racket. In my hands, I can swat two flies around. Huh? But the same racket. In the hands of wisdom. Who is the one now?
Roger.
Huh? Roger Federer.
Yeah. Serena Williams.
He's a world champion.
Amen.
Why? It all depends in whose hands it is.
Yes.
We go to golf. You put the golf club in my hand and that stick there, you give it to me. Oftentimes, it just happens when I go to this village and went there. My balls are always in love with the trees. But the same golf club
in the hands of
Tiger Woods.
It means different.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus in you is the hope of glory.
Yes.
You are not just getting some religion when you've got Jesus in you.
Amen.
Because when you understand the power and the authority which you carry inside of you, you will not allow the devil play games with you.
Amen.
And therefore, I declare over your life, nightmares and bad dreams have no chance over your life.
Amen.
And it's time you rise up and begin to declare,
yes,
that Christ in me is bigger than every demon that have been chasing over my life.
Amen.
And I go back, all the way back to the generations of my ancestors, and I begin to claim my victory in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody declare, I am free.
I am free.
Shout it, I am free.
I am free.
Declare this with me. Shout, I declare.
I
in the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
everything in my bloodline,
every
curse,
every
spell that goes down generations is broken from my life. I am a child of God. I'm a daughter and a son of the Most High God. I rule in the heavenlies. Because Christ is in me. I don't walk in fear.
I walk in power.
Because greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Give Him a big hand of praise this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I welcome you all? Thank you so much for being here once again. We are on a journey. And the journey that we have started, we want to make sure that God wants you to be free indeed. In every area of your life, it is possible to be a Christian. But when you understand how we started this series, we started by making God's people aware you are a spirit who lives in a body who has a soul.
Amen.
Your soul area is the battlefield we are after. Because in your soul area is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's where your character and personality are formed right there. It is important, therefore, that you understand that you and I, the enemy, like to piggyback what happens in the mind. Your mind is the battleground that he uses. One thought can send you to hell. One thought that is negative can open a doorway of fear, of shame, of guilt, and everything else. So it is important that you understand, once you become a child of God, what does that mean? You can speak yourself to your victory.
Amen.
Do you get what I say? In God's children's way of doing things, there is no idle words. You don't just speak things and say, I was just joking. Maybe let's go there. Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter 12 with me, and I want you to see something there, very interesting there. There are things that I believe the enemy attaches himself to. And one of them, oftentimes, are the words that we speak as God's children. Matthew chapter 12. I want to see verse 36 and verse 37. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Let's see what it says, and then we're going to read all of us together. Matthew 12, verse 36. Thank you, Jay. Matthew 12 from verse 36. And let's see what it says. Oh, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. And I want us to see that all of us together in Jesus' mighty name. It's important that I think we get it all of us there again. Worship team, thank you so much once again. God bless you. Let's give them a big hand in Jesus' mighty name. Let me give it just a few things that I believe can harness and empower you this morning as we walk with God in Jesus' name. 12, the book of Matthew, verse 36. I want us to read all of us together right now in Jesus' mighty name. One, two, go.
Therefore, But I say to you that for every
hard word they will give an answer in the day of judgment.
And verse 37. For by your words
you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Wow.
Allow that to sink. I want you to allow the power of that text to sink within you. The devil is a strategist. He likes to take advantage of the weakest moment in your life, and he wants to piggyback on the weakest link around you. So that is why it is important that when we live our lives as God's people on the series of spiritual warfare that we are running on with, we are now wanting you to be aware that in this world, you can't be in the middle. There is no demilitarization zone. You are not somewhere in between. You can't be in the neutral zone. You are either in light or you are in darkness. Do I make sense? In this world we're living in, either you belong to one kingdom or the other kingdom. When you get saved, you are translated. There is a translation, a transfer that takes place from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Yes? And because it is important you and I to understand that we don't therefore operate, you don't use the weapons of the kingdom of darkness to walk in the kingdom of light. And therefore it is important that you understand that if I'm going to live victoriously, I need to understand the nature of this warfare. Part of the nature of that warfare is that the devil can't read your mind. The devil cannot read your mind. So that means only God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. God knows all things everywhere at any time. Do I make sense?
Yes.
And because God is omniscient, we also say God is omnipotent, which means God is all-powerful. He has all power.
Amen.
Right? And therefore, it's important that you understand that as we talk about the all-wise and all-knowing God, the devil is not. And because the devil is not all-knowing, what he does, he influences your mind, because your mind is the battlefield that he likes to use to bring you to his territory. Unless you speak it out, he won't know what you are thinking. Mm-hmm. Many of us, we find ourselves under the shackles of the bondage of the enemy because we speak idle words. I want you to see it again, what that says. That verse is very important. Verse 36 again. Let's go there. Let's see verse 36. One, two, go. But I say to you, Jesus says, every
idle
word. What is an idle word? Well, teachers that are in this place. What's an idle word?
Not
a God. Not a truth. Teachers, wrong. What is an idle word? Come on, Jose. What is an idle word? These are words you will speak thoughtlessly. Do you know what I say? The words you speak without thinking. Like, I wish I was dead. The devil piggybacks on that. And you find yourself suicidal. And you wonder, what happens? We check in your bloodline. There is no anybody who killed themselves. But what's happening? Because I say to you, every idle word that a person may speak. The reason why the enemy wants you to cheapen everything around your life. Therefore, you continue to live a defeated lifestyle.
Yes.
I deliver you this morning from every idle word.
Amen.
I'm ugly. You think that's cool? I'm ugly. Nobody likes me. Oh, no, look, I know my life. You know, this is my fate or whatever. You know, people talk to themselves. You bring to yourself negativity. And the devil likes that. Oh, my Lord, please help me. I know today is one of those days where there are 1,000 messages preaching to me. Do you know why the devil is called the Lord of the Flies? His name is called Beelzebub. How many of you get that word? Beelzebub. Beelzebub was a demonic god that was saved in the times of the Philistines and the pagan nations. And it was called the god of Ekron. And that god is called Beelzebub.
because it is called the Lord of the Flies. And because the devil is called the Lord of the Flies, you need to understand something about a house fly. Because a house fly, the reason why you don't want that thing in your house, over your food, over your fruit, over your delicacies, it is because it has got pathogens around it. Flies have got pathogens in their legs, so therefore they carry dirt. But here is where it becomes a problem. When they fly from one place to the other, they like to breed and multiply in dung. I'm trying to be as very nice as possible. So the devil is called the Lord of the dung, or the Lord of poo. Because he loves poo. So when I say to myself, I am no good, he piggybacks on the statement that I just said. And he begins to breathe more, because the devil and his demonic attacks or agents, they don't operate singularly. He has taught as a strategist in his kingdom. I often say to people, before you say everything else that you see and you get shrouded by looking at the devil as a bad devil, I say he's a good strategist. Anybody who can influence a third of angels to follow him is a strategist. So when he comes into your life, he never comes with shame. Where there is shame, there is blame. Where there is blame, there is guilt. Where there is guilt, there is condemnation. That's a pack right there for you. So every shame and rejection, they don't travel by themselves, because the devil enjoys operating in gangs. Jesus says, when you read in the very chapter that he talks, when an evil spirit goes out, it comes back. Once you check what's in there, when the house is empty and the house is clean and the house is in order, but not filled with the right words, then he says, I will go and pick up seven more. Why? Because he never operates singularly. Here's my prayer. Watch what you say from today. Watch the words that come out of your mouth. From today, I want you to say to yourself, I'll be careful what I speak with my mouth, what I say to my child, what I say to my son, what I speak to my daughter. Why? Every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment, because in the kingdom of God, everything operates according to the justice system. We know God as a father, and therefore we are his children. But we also know God as our judge. And therefore, the prosecutor, wonderful message that was given here by Brother Phil, that the enemy of your soul is always standing in the presence of God to accuse you. But he can't accuse you if you are speaking the right words. He only accuses you because he takes advantage of what you have said. Amen. I live in fear, and that becomes your language. I live in fear. Nobody loves me. And therefore you push away relationships away from you. You don't realize that it begins within you. I said to you last week, your world is a reflection of your inner self. If there is no change in here, there can be no change outwardly. Amen. The people you think they don't like you that are outside, it is only a reflection of what is on inside of you already. Because if you hate you, you can't love them. It begins from within. Somebody told it begins from within. So every Sunday when we come here, what are we doing? We are recalibrating things and realigning and make sure putting balances where they're supposed to be, because your soul area is a compartment. You can have Jesus in your heart, but certain parts of your life are not in order. So therefore the devil controls those areas. But today I want you to understand it begins by the words that I speak over my life. Every word that I speak over my life, I give account of it in the day of judgment. It's not only talking about the coming judgment, it's talking about the justice system, the legal system of the kingdom. Because the enemy, when he stands in the presence of God, he stands to accuse you. Revelation 12:7, it says, for the devil is the accuser. That's a legal term. He's the accuser of the brethren. In the kingdom of God, it's always, it's wonderful for you to understand that it's a justice talk. It's a justice language when it says in the day of judgment. Every day when you wake up in your life, you can order your internal world. When you wake up in the morning and you declare, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice. You are ordering your world. Doesn't matter what your boss is going to say to you when you're right there. Doesn't matter what your colleagues or your friends out there are thinking. But if you order your world, what is in your shower? I love doing that when I'm in the shower. I just see the shower cleansing me, toxins around my body. That's the picture I always have when I go. I'm thinking I'm not only just cleaning the dust and the dirt of the world, but also all the toxins in my life. Amen. And I declare, wow, me and Jesus today are going to make it.
Amen.
If you don't say it to you, who do you think will? Yeah. Nobody will. I can tell you the moment you get out of your car, of your house to get into your car to start driving, there will be some other ragamuffin out there who does not know how to drive. And if you are not controlled, you take Jesus out of your heart and you put him on the seat. Jesus, stay here. I'll come back and I'll deal with you. Why? Because you need to order your internal world.
Amen.
Say this with me. I will order my internal world.
Which
means you can choose your joy.
Amen.
You choose. Don't you hear people say, it just happens. No, nothing just happens. It's a choice.
Amen.
Every idle word that man may speak, you give account of. And verse 37, again, I want us to see that one. What does it say, verse 37? It says, want to go, for by your words. Whose words?
Yours.
You thought every time. But Pastor, you don't understand. They told me I was not good enough. They told me that I would never make it in life. That's why I am here. I am messed up like this because blame it on my mama. Blame it on my uncle. I'm saying, hold on. You can change that.
Amen.
Come on, Pastor.
You can change that.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Once again, Shimikoto Ministries, Radio Network International, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing you weekly. Empowered for your destiny. Thank you for listening to us. See you once again with our co-producer Kayla Paget as we come to you every day, every week.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.